The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
A lot of fighters in the UFC, they are trying to replicate that footwork because that right there was a showcase and that was something special.
Wonderboy still here, baby. That title, 2021, I'm telling you, is going to be mine, brother. You watch and see.
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
That's it. Casey O'Neill, your winner by submission.
I want to remain undefeated. I want to beat everybody's
king. Casey O'Neill.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I today, hopefully, will be joined by a guy we like, who is, a good friend of the show, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, fighting Gilbert Burns at the 264 co-main event. That's a great fight, the Conor Poirier trilogy. And we also have someone you've been asking for, Matt. Matt Serra asks, and Matt Serra receives. Casey O'Neill will be on the show finally today.
She's undefeated.
Yeah, 7-0.
23 years old. Well-rounded, you know, a TKO win versus Shayna Dobson, submission win versus Lara.
Yeah, Procopio, yeah.
Procopio.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. She's looking great.
Yeah, you love her, man. You've raved about her on quite a few occasions. You've been talking about her and you've been demanding that she be on this program.
You know, guess who's ready to talk to us?
Let me guess. It's probably... I'm going to guess Stephen Thompson.
You guess right, Jimmy.
Good. Let's bring
go.
Him in.
Let's go right to him. I'm sorry. I know they're going to cut it right there to when he comes in. So let's sound cool with that. Okay, let's bring him in. That was fucking lemonade.
That was good. Yeah. That was perfect. Let's bring him in.
I tried too hard.
You did good.
All right. Oh, shirt off, Jimmy. Look at this. What is this? Tiger Beat Magazine? Shoot. Yeah.
There they are.
Where are you? Getting some sun?
I am at the water park with karate campers, man.
This guy is living the dream. He's at you're at a water park and with your karate. How many kids are with you right there?
Oh my God. We have 73.
Wow.
73.
And it's not just you and your father and your brother watching them, right? You have a whole staff.
No, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine employees right now helping out.
That's great. It must be nice to be in shape and go to the water park. Like, it must be nice to be in Stephen Thompson's shape and go to a water park and have fun. That must be a fun. Is a water park fun? I can't go to one.
It is fun. It is fun. Well, it gets to a point where all 73 kids want you to ride the water slides with them. So you find yourself waiting in line for at least 5 hours just to go down these water slides. But other than that, we have a good time.
Wait, why do you have to wait? Like, they don't give Wonderboy a little bit of a kick to the front of the line?
I mean, they should as much as we're here. We're literally here probably once, maybe twice a week. Summer long.
Wow. Is it a nice park? Is it huge? One of those big ones?
It's this one's like, let me show you.
Yeah, man.
We got the water slides.
Oh, that's
we got the little water park there. We got a lazy river. You know, nothing too crazy, kind of small. So it's great for us because we can keep it. It's easier for us to keep an eye on the kids. You know, it's not like some massive water park or anything like that.
It's not like Action Park in New Jersey. It's not like that, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
Nothing was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary place.
That's a year, you know? It's fucking crazy. Steven, you're not fighting. Listen, you know, I mean, I know it's good to get paid, but dude, you are literally not fighting for the money. Look at you at the world. I mean, you, first of all, you're loving your life right now. Some people,
I love it.
Like, you couldn't pay people to bring 73 kids to a water park. They'd be like, you know what? That's not my gig. That's not what I'm into. I mean, you love it. That's
you,
what you
I
do.
I see you doing that, Matt Sarah. I see you doing that.
I got, you know what? I can handle 3 kids. That's hey, you'll be proud of me though, Steven. I am teaching now that all my 3 kids are in the kids class. I am teaching the kids class. I'm teaching it today at 4:00.
Let's go.
I'm teaching it, man.
Let's go. How do you like it?
Kamora Savages.
Oh, yes.
These kids get bullied. Your kids are going to be giving sidekicks. My kids are going to be ripping Kamoras.
Exactly. Rear naked chose guillotines and Kamoras, baby.
So much fun.
But it is fun. I'm loving life, man. I mean, you know, I fight because I love doing it. I love the competition. I do it for the honor and the glory. The money's just a bonus. Like, I don't need to fight to make a living. You know, I'm here at the school every day, karate camp all summer long. You know, I find time to train around my teaching and with karate camps, you know. And I train twice a day. I woke up this morning at 8:30, was at the gym at 9, trained from 9 to about 10:30. And then we're here at the water park. Now I go back, teach classes from 4 to 8. From 8 to 9, I train again. So all day, every day.
It's amazing. How many lives that you're impacting, Wonder Boy, without getting too, you know, dramatic? Seriously. I mean, these kids watch you fight. You're hanging out with them all day long. You're teaching them. And I mean, it's got to feel good, buddy.
It does, man. It does. I could stop fighting right now and just do this. You know? Yeah. I mean, we have grandkids taken from us, and their grandparents took from us. So we have 3 generations come through here. Yeah. So it's wild, man. It is. I mean, my dad's had a huge impact in this area, and we're just trying to make it better. We just moved in our new 20,000 square foot facility. Yeah. And we moved in there with about 650 students. We're almost at 800 right now.
Oh, wow. So is karate camp
like crazy?
Steven, where is the karate camp? Do you guys get on buses and go somewhere, or is it a day thing, or what happens?
So yeah, so parents actually drop their kids off at 7 a.m.
Okay.
So we have staff there to help these kids in, and we play games. But we go somewhere every day. We were at the water park today. Tomorrow we're going to the movies. We're going bowling after that the next day. So, but we spend a lot of our time at the gyms. We have a whole separate area just for our after school and our campers. So when classes and stuff are going on, parents pick them up around 6:15, 6:30.
That's wild, man. That's some operation, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
did it start from real humble beginnings? I mean, what was your dad's first school like? Was it a big school, small school?
It was not even, I mean, probably half the size of the UFC octagon.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, it was a hole in the wall. My dad was working 3 jobs at the time and running a school, raising 5 kids. And then we lived in a 1-bedroom apartment, and parents had the bedroom. We had the floor. And I remember it wasn't until actually a few years back, I had mentioned it. I for some reason, I must have had a dream and jogged my memory why we ate so much potatoes as kids. And I brought that up to my mom. We had baked potatoes. We had potato soup, potato salad. It was nothing but potatoes. All my mom could afford was a sack of potatoes. That's all she could afford to feed us 5 kids. My mom was a nurse for a long time, and then she got out of that and helped my dad change the business. She made it what it is today, to be honest with you.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
You get the right person behind you, right woman, right
partner, oh, yeah.
And it really could make a huge difference.
Man, they're a power couple for sure. I mean, they eat, sleep, the school. I remember, you know, my parents would spend most of their time there. And I lived at the gym. I was a dojo rat. We lived there. I did my homework there. I had to get 2 karate classes in a week, 2 Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes in a week, and 2 kickboxing classes in a week. And if I didn't, I was in trouble. along with doing my homework.
What year did your father open the school?
It was in 1983, the year I was born.
Wow, okay.
1983 in Simpsonville, yep. He moved from Charleston, South Carolina, Monk's Corner, up to Greenville. He had just graduated military school, was trying to go into the military, but that was the time right after Vietnam, so they were pretty much kicking people out of the military. So he went into martial arts.
So you don't know a life at all without this martial arts or karate being like a daily kind of immersion. That's your whole life.
That's my whole life, our whole life. I mean, my brother Tony's right here. He's raising two kids, and his oldest, who is three, started our Little Dragons classes several months back. So he's in it. You know, my sister's kid, she's got five kids. I got 13 nieces and nephews, and they're all in martial arts.
Now, you love kids. Do you want kids someday, or are you okay just kind of being an uncle and just taking care of other kids, or do you want to have them?
I want to have some kids.
You do?
Definitely want some kids. Yeah, man. I mean, I see everybody's looking at me right now. I'm the oldest boy, but the only one that doesn't have any kids. So everybody's like, come on, Steven. We waiting, bro.
Yeah.
What you waiting on? So I'm like, you know, I got a small window. Can I do what I want to do with this? And I'm living it through. So.
How do you feel about Gilbert Burns? It's an interesting, I mean, look, just because he's so dangerous on the ground. I mean, you fought other guys who were dangerous on the ground before. And you're definitely not easy to put on the ground. So, I mean, you know what he's going to do going in, though.
Oh, yeah. He's looking to take me down for sure. I mean, will I ever be as high level as Gilbert Burns at this point? I don't think so. I mean, the guy's just ridiculous on the ground. But every fight starts standing up.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like preparing for Rory McDonald all over again because the guy's so well-rounded, you know. So I'm prepared wherever the fight goes. You know, I got 3 5-minute rounds to do what I need to do out there. And I think, to be honest, with a good performance over Gilbert Burns should set me up nicely for a title shot for sure.
Let's not downplay your ground game. I seen you by you Eric, when you visited Weidman, you're helping him for fights, and you'd always come out. You trained by my school. You got a ground
yes,
game.
Sir.
You're more Thank than you. A fucking sidekick, Stephen Thompson. Let me tell you something. And you bring up that Rory McDonald fight. That fight was almost, it's basically like him starting with a leg lock. He did the role. He had this game plan, which might have been good on paper. It might be good if he finished that leg lock, but he probably should have stuck to his traditional striking, getting into the wrestling. But he was doing the Imanani roll?
Imanai rolls.
Yeah, the
Imanai rolls.
I can't pronounce shit. But yes, it's basically a roll into a leg lock, Jimmy.
Yes.
And that's how he did it. And he got right around Steven's leg when they were dry. Steven got out. And then I think he tried it again. And you
he
got
tried
out
it three times, I think, in that fight.
Yeah. After the second time, it might have been time for plan B, but.
Is that what Ryan Hall does? Is that the role Ryan Hall does?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually a real weird situation because I had met Ryan Hall in Montreal. I was helping GSP up there, helping him get ready. This is before I was in the UFC. And that's how I met Ryan Hall. And I knew he was training with Rory McDonald and things like that with leg locks and things. And I had a hunch. Now, at the time, Ryan Hall was training with us as well. So he was neutral for that fight. He didn't help any of us out. But I had a hunch that, you know, Ryan Hall training up there. This guy's probably going to roll in for an M&I roll. And I was right. I prepared for it, and I was right, man. So, I mean, I don't see Gilbert Burns trying anything like that. He sticks more traditional with his double legs and single legs, things like that. And he's not afraid to stand up. He's knocked some people out.
Yeah.
But he does try to, you know, traditional shots, like his doubles and singles. So I wouldn't expect him to try anything, but I'm prepared for it. If he does try it, I'm prepared for it. But man, Gilbert's is strong. I know he's got a 71-inch reach. He's strong in the clinch. But I got the reach advantage on him, got the distance on him. I think I can keep the fight standing and pick him apart.
Yeah. And this, I think you're right. A good win over him definitely puts you in line, I think, for a shot because he just fought Kamaru. So, I mean, I think a win for him does not give him another title shot immediately. But I think a win for you. A good win for you definitely puts you in the conversation. I mean, not that you're not in the conversation now, but you know what I mean.
Yes, sir. I mean, I know. I think Colby's got it next. I know Leon Edwards are talking about Leon.
Yeah.
But I'm right there. I mean, I don't care if they give me Leon next, but it's got to be somebody ranked higher than me. I mean, I know they gave me the number two guy, but I'm working my way up. You know, I'm 38, feeling 25. Feeling good, man.
Bill, you're not slowing down at all. It's so strange. Like, it's you're still like a hard guy to figure out to beat with all these guys. They must be bringing in karate guys left and right, being like, fuck it. You know what I mean? They must be like, yo, man, bounce on your fucking toes, do these side kicks, but they still cannot figure you out. You're an enigma to them. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. They literally bring in the same guy, Raymond Daniels. I know Rory McDonald brought him in. I think Tyron Woodley brought him in. He fights for Bellator. And I think Gilbert Burns spent some time with him as well. But it's the same guy. I'm pretty sure if they're paying this guy anything, I should get a percentage for sure of this guy. I mean, they're bringing the same guy in for me. But it doesn't matter because we still, it's different. We have a different style of fighting. He's more of a karate point fighting style. You know, I've got a little bit more of a kickboxing influence with the karate. It really doesn't matter who they bring in. It's different once you step out there and you feel it.
Yeah. And you know, again, somebody has to take you down. Like you said, the fight starts standing up. And I've mentioned many times, we've talked about how impressive Tyron was against Damian Maia with those the takedown defense, even though the punches, it was not an exciting fight. But I never thought he got the credit he should have gotten for stopping Maia. And again, I think it was 26. We just had Dean Thomas on. I think it's one of the most incredible defensive efforts I've ever seen.
I agree. I mean, to fight, you have to fight Damian that way. You have to fight him that way. I mean, even Bilal Muhammad, you know, he did very well. But, I mean, Tyron Woodley fought him, you know, as he was coming back up. And it makes out for a boring fight, you know. But still, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, a boring win is better than an exciting loss, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I'll tell you right now, man, I give Gilbert a lot of credit for after that devastating loss when he was going for the title there to the champ. And to have you for the comeback fight, I'm telling you, it's a lot of – I guess he knows that if he gets a win over you, it's huge for him. He knows, so he's – that shows you the confidence I believe that he has. Because I'll tell you – whoever his manager is might be like, hey, my numbnuts, Thompson, nobody's getting this guy out of there. Shit, I don't know.
I thought it was a bad matchup to begin with because, you know, he lost to not one of the best strikers in the division, Kamaru Usman. He's more known for his wrestling. He is getting better because he's knocked out of him. He knocked out one of the best strikers in the division, Jorge Masvidal. But, you know, he's confident, man. He must know something I don't. But, hey, I'm ready for the best Gilbert Burns come July 10th. And I'm prepared, like I said, for wherever the fight goes. I don't predict the knockout. I visualize my hand being raised at the end of the fight, and preparing myself for just a war. I think it helps me going in. It gives me the confidence to go out there and be prepared for that. Because a lot of guys go out there expecting knockout. And when it doesn't happen, you know, they either tire themselves out trying or it messes with them mentally. But he was in the corner with Vicente Luque. They're good buds.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're training together, preparing for me. Vicente Luque's felt it, you know, felt my style. So I believe Vicente might be in his corner for this one.
Steven, let me ask you something. Why is it everybody's in love with these calf kicks? They got the tie kicks, the oblique kicks. Sometimes there's even a nice little question mark kick. Not enough people are using the fucking side kick. It might, is it, why? It's so good defensively. It's so good. It's good to close distance. It's good to spin something off of. I mean, you are I don't see anybody using the sidekick like you. I don't think I ever did. You know, maybe if I follow boxing. But I'll tell you, why? Answer me, why? Why isn't people using this thing?
Well, I think it's because, you know, a calf kick, a leg kick, or a back leg round kick, roundhouse kick, they're already throwing those anyway, right? They're easy to throw. A sidekick, you have to be in a little bit more of a sideways stance. It takes a long time to develop it, the speed, the power, and not just that, but let's say you throw a sidekick, it kind of forces you the other direction, almost forces your back to him. If you don't know how to end up after you throw the sidekick, you can end up in a bad position. So it does take some time to learn it and develop it, and I don't think people are willing to do that. I mean, you're starting to see a few people throwing it, like, you know, you have Karate Hottie throwing it, even Rose Namajunas throwing the sidekick. Yeah. Conor McGregor throws it every now and then. But you don't see a whole lot of guys doing it. And it's crazy to me why these guys aren't putting in the time to develop it. Because like you said, defensively, it is awesome. Keeps people away. I love it.
What was the hardest kick? What's the hardest kick technically for you to do?
I think it would be the hook kick. So a round kick you kick with a a lead leg, you kick with the shin. The hook kick, it comes the other direction using your heel, right? Lead leg hook kick. Not a spin right. kick, just a lead leg hook kick. Look it up. So, hey, Rhiannon.
That's so cute.
Just walks by, see what I'm up to. That's but so I think funny. It's the hook kick.
Okay.
Is that, that's, oh, wait, the spinning hook kick or heel kick. I'm not a karate man. Yeah, what'd yeah, you
spinning,
do?
Spinning
what
heel did you kick use? Is the same thing.
But what did you use on Ellenberger?
That was the spin wheel kick, spin hook kick or heel kick. Listen yeah. to me. That one can generate a ton of power. And you're kicking with a small, the hardest part of your foot, which is the bottom of your heel. And even you hit someone in the arm with that, it's going to go numb. It chills.
Out of all the fights I've seen, you know, you forget sometimes the pre-fight interviews and stuff. I'll never forget. And I like Ellenberger, nice guy. But I'll never forget they asked about the karate. And he goes, oh, the karate. That's cute.
Something yeah, like he laughed about it, right?
He laughed about it. Fast forward, spinning heel kick.
The most karate thing you can get hit with. Right? Yeah. The most karate thing you can get hit with.
The only thing worse is if you hit him with that fucking crane
kick. Crane, yeah.
Daniel Sundin. That would be the only thing worse than what you caught him with.
Or a karate chop.
You may or may not see that at some point in time out there from me. The crane kick.
Fucking Jimmy, a karate chop.
Yeah, that would be the only more karate thing I can think
Dude,
of.
Dude, it's funny. My dad has been begging me to hit somebody with a karate chop. Like out there. If you do it just right, like to the neck, the brachial plexus, or even to the jaw, you know, or a ridge hand. We call my dad a Papa Ridge Hand because he's knocked a lot of dudes out with a ridge hand. And it's an open hand strike, but you strike with the inside edge of the hand.
Is it like he's this? Been by,
yes.
You're
yes.
talking about like Keith Hackney versus Emmanuel Yarbrough?
Dude, you remember that?
Jimmy, that was a karate man with a mullet fighting a 500-pound behemoth, a big sumo wrestler. And he hit him with a ridge hand.
Ridge hand.
And he knocked him down. Then he got really technical. It was like this.
Yeah.
Ah, he started fucking just punching him in the head. He won.
Dude,
the big sumo couldn't get up.
It was a ridge hand that knocked him down.
Huh?
It was a ridge hand that knocked him down.
It was a fucking ridge hand.
Yes.
Why don't you ever throw them? Is it more likely to break? Or is your hand less stable when you throw them?
Well, I mean, you see a lot of old school guys, karate guys, like my dad. He do a lot of hand conditioning. Still to this day, my dad's always hitting a maki, which is like a conditioning, like a wooden post. You know, we got one up in the gym for our hands, you know, our shins, our knuckles. I hit this thing probably, you know, once a day, but at least 200 times with my two big knuckles and 200 times with my two small knuckles.
Wow.
Just to develop it and to build calcium. But my dad, if you see the knuckles on that guy, it's ridiculous. But he conditions them. I don't condition to the extent that he does. So I'm a little wary. It may or may not break my hand. I hope I don't, but you know, I don't know. I may make him proud and throw it one time.
So that really does help. When you see footage of guys like kicking those wooden posts, or whatever, with their shins or their forearms, that really does the calcium buildup does actually help.
Well, the way I condition my shins, like I'll kick a tire, and that conditions the skin. Like, remember when Luke Rockhold went shin to shin with Yoel Romero? He ended up getting an infection in that he split his skin, and he got an infection. He was out for like a year, year and a half. So you got to condition the skin. I just hit a heavy bag. That's all I do to dent in the bone. And then I'll take a little Kaibo stick, and I'll just ding my shins while I'm watching TV or teaching classes. And it kind of deadens the nerve. So I don't kick anything extremely hard, because that's how you develop like hairline fractures in your shin and then end up getting the old Chris Wyben, Anderson Silva shin break, which I don't want that at all.
Oh, yeah. That's scary. Yeah.
How's Chris doing?
He's doing good, man. I'm actually on his podcast tomorrow morning. Oh, he's got his own podcast now.
He's podcasting.
So I'll be on that tomorrow morning. His spirits are up, man. He's
called
great.
Don't Back Down, right? Don't Back Down?
Yeah, Don't Back Down.
Yeah.
He's got to get you on, Sarah. He's got to get you. I'm going to say something to him tomorrow.
You tell him, man.
You should be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I saw Anderson Silva on there. So, of course, he's got to be on there. That's great.
Yep.
Now you're going on there. You're literally family. Your brother married his sister, I swear to God, if I'm not within the next few guests, I'll tell you right now.
I will drive to his house and kick him in the shin again.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do. Better be at the top.
That's how you know he's in fight mode. He goes right.
Ready to rock, baby. I'm ready to clash somebody.
Jimmy, when you brought up, when you were talking about like the hitting the board with the rope around it, I what flashed through my head was Marked for Death when Steven Seagal got out of the coma and he had a big Rip Van Winkle beard and a belly and he's fucking hitting the fucking things. I don't know.
Those are the best movies ever.
Yeah.
If you watch those old Steven Seagal movies, like early, you got to expect a good old fashioned arm break or two in those movies. Those were awesome. I used to love those movies.
I liked it too. I loved Above the Law. I even loved the one in Brooklyn. Anybody here see Bobby Lupo?
Which one was that?
That was the guy who played. When was that?
Yeah, what movie was that? Out for Justice.
He was taking out the mob.
Yeah.
And they had the bad guy. He was the guy who played Al Capone in the series. What's that guy's name?
He had a sock, and he put like what was that guy? Pool ball in it. Crushing people.
Ooh.
Love those Steven Seagal movies.
They should have told him where Bobby Lupo was.
Hey, let me ask you guys too. Matt, I've been meaning to ask you about that. You guys just said something that reminded me of it. I forget, maybe you were talking about being in fight mode or kicking Chris. The Sean Strickland clash that he had with Orlando Sanchez at the gym. Did you see that video?
Oh, I saw that.
Yes.
Now, I never trained, so I see two guys. I see both points. What is that situation like? As a fighter training for a fight, is that situation? Hey, that guy never should have done that because he could have injured him, or is that just part of the grappling? Or what is that?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we didn't see the whole footage, and we just saw that instant.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got guys that come in the gym, and I'm not saying Strickland was doing this, but you know, they go pretty hard. You know, and sometimes you got to humble them a little bit. But from what it looked like, it was just the guy was trying to destroy his shoulder or elbow. It looked like to me, I'm like, whoo.
It looked like
I would be wanting to fight that guy too if he was doing that to me. What do you think, Matt? What do you think, Sarah?
Oh, no, I didn't listen. I mean, the thing is this, if you hear them talk about it, it's that Orlando guy sounds like a cool guy. Like he sounds like a down to earth guy. And it sounded like Strickland came in there. I don't know if he was being playful, but it sounded like he was being like a bit of a douche, but I don't know the guy. He sounds like he was goofing on people. There's another big guy in there with a hat on. He goes, that's how you know a guy doesn't belong here. He's got a hat on backwards. And it wasn't his place. So going into it, they're not being best friends. It's kind of, he didn't know who Lando was. From what Lando says, he said something like, he said to Orlando, hey, I don't know what you do, because he heard he was a champion in jiu-jitsu, which Orlando is. He goes, well, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna kick your ass anyway. It's something along those lines. So he was kind of.
I can see where that came from, 100%.
But having said all that, it's one thing if you got him in an arm bar and you're keeping it on or keeping on pressure, there's a level of control. Like when he was going for an underhook and Orlando went for a quick, I can see how that could. He's saying, oh, it's grappling. That's a submission. Yeah, maybe in a street fight. I mean, you're not getting him in a position for him to tap. You're giving a quick, it's almost like if my arm's straight and I just come down on it. If my arm's like this and I brought my knee down on it or I put my body into it. It's like, oh, it's a submission.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it might break my arm, but there's nothing really super technical about it. I mean, you're all controlled. There's no control. It's a quick.
Yeah.
So you could have just popped this dude's arm off.
Yeah.
I don't blame Strickland for getting mad at that.
So do you think, Matt, is it like a message?
It might have been. So
like a message, like, hey, don't fuck with me. And do you think he was trying to do that?
You're rolling in somebody else's gym and somebody else's place, and you've never been there before, and you just start at the mouth. I mean, there's going to be somebody there that's going to test you, you know?
Right.
You got those enforcers in every gym.
So, I mean, it might have been something like that. Because if it's something like that, the guy's disrespected, then, hey, do what you got to do. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't know the whole situation.
Jimmy's asking if it's a dirty move. I'll put it like this. Steven, we talked about you coming visiting my place before with Chris. If I saw Wonderboy grappling, standing up, and one of my guys did that, I'm fucking ripping that guy a new asshole. And I'm saying, what the fuck are you doing? So, that's what I mean. Now, is it a move? Is it – that could be all for debate. But I, if somebody did that to a guy visiting me and the guy's a nice guy, that's uncalled for, dude. Because there's no control. And he said, "Oh, I could have broke it if I wanted to." I don't know. So what are you trying to do? Just pop it once or something? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you're trying
it's to. Not like you have any mom or saying, yeah. "Say uncle." You got a fucking 300-pound something guy. What the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I don't know that guy's strong as an ox.
Well, he's a problem. He's a fucking problem.
Yeah, he looked like a cool dude. You hear him talking. He seems like a cool guy. Yeah. And it seemed leading up to it, the other guy seemed like he wasn't. But who knows? That might have just been his personality. Yeah. I don't want to make judgments because I don't know either guy personally. But
yeah, I don't know the whole situation either.
If I seen that move in my school, I would say that's the dick move. Yeah. I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't know what was said. You don't know.
Yeah, now, exactly.
You know, you got a fighter where
maybe the guy deserved it. I don't know. I'm just saying. You ask me if that's in my school, I go, hey, what are you fucking doing, man?
And Stephen, before we let you go, because we have our next guest is coming. You mentioned being two questions I want to ask you. First of all, is there an enforcer in every gym? Do most gyms have like that enforcer mentality guy who's like, all right, I'll take care of this?
Well, I'm the kind of enforcer at our school, but I do it in such a nice way. You know what I mean? Like, we had this guy come in from another school, and we let people come in and train, and you know, we tell them right off the bat, you know, leave you at the door. We're out here to have fun. We always have a meeting before we even spar. Like, everybody's keeping light. We're having fun. We got guys coming there just swinging for the fences. And then, you know, my dad will give me a wink. It's like, Wonder Boy. I'm like, God, I hate doing it. I don't like doing it. You know, I'll piece them up a little bit. And I'm not trying to crush the guy or knock the guy out. But I'll get on his behind. And afterwards, I'll say, hey, man, you got to lighten up with these smaller guys or these beginners or whatever. And, you know, I think you guys, you got those guys that you can trust to do it without going overboard or, you know, crushing people. So I don't know. I'm the kind of enforcer because I can do it with control. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little different too in a jiu-jitsu gym, like a jiu-jitsu academy. Like, I could have them put it on them without like hurting them. You actually not have to knock them unconscious. You have to have a fine line with that. Like, you probably kicking them off their feet with your sidekick. You got your control with that.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's why they signed the waiver. That's why they signed that waiver, baby.
Exactly. Shit, man. Wonderboy. Yeah. Listen, man. All our best. Yeah. You got Casey O'Neill in the waiting room. Hey, man. We love watching you fight, man. We love you and we love your sidekicks.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys having me on. And hopefully we can do it again. Maybe we'll chat after the fight.
Definitely. And Seth, give your father a hello from us too, okay?
Definitely. You got it, guys. Y'all have a good one, guys.
Enjoy the water park.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
King Casey. That's what it says on your on your Zoom thing.
King Casey.
Casey O'Neill, so happy to finally talk to you. Oh, I like the little tattoo.
By the way, Matt has been singing your praises and demanding you be on this show. Matt has been a fan of yours.
I have hair, to be honest. I do listen to you guys every week, so I appreciate it. I heard everything you said, and thank you, Matt. I'm a big fan, too.
It's most deserving. Let me ask you, your father, he trains also? Because I know he's in your corner.
He used to. He's retired. He's retired now, but he used to. He was a fighter before me, and that's how I got started, and he was one of my sort of first coaches, really. And yeah, but he's retired now. He just likes to be there and be part of the corner.
I just think that's so cool because I'm a father of three daughters and I'm teaching them jiu-jitsu. And I just think it's cool when I see like the father-daughter thing. It's so nice. Same thing with like Amanda Hebaz. I see that too. It's nice, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's comforting to have him in the corner and everything, you know, and knowing that anything that happens that he's there and he's got my back. And I've actually never seen him nervous for a fight before. And this one, he was like so nervous. So it's kind of funny to me because usually I'm nervous for fights. And this one I was fine and he was like shitting himself. So it was kind of funny.
Now, where, for the people that at home trying to get to know you here, where did you grow up and what was the first discipline you did?
So I was born in Scotland and I lived in a place called Kilmarnock, which is like a small town outside of Glasgow. I started with kickboxing there. I was four when I started going to the gym with my dad. He used to pick me up from like after school care and everything and take me there because my mom would work nights. So I would just sit on the sidelines and watch. And I used to, you know, shadow box and stand there and do it. And eventually they let me into the adults class when I was six. So I started with kickboxing, American kickboxing. I started fighting when I was eight. We used to go to competitions every weekend. And then, yeah, we moved to Australia. And I started doing jiu-jitsu when I was 13. And then from there, you know, MMA at 15 and just continued on ever since.
Well, that explains why you're so well-rounded.
Right? I still haven't really translated the striking into my fight yet. I just feel so comfortable on the ground, you know. In my opinion, I think that anybody I can take to the ground and just finish them there. And I love doing that. So yeah, I'm working on it, though.
Did you just get promoted, too, with your belt?
Yeah. Yeah, I just got my
brain belt. Said after your fight, you said something like, I hope my jiu-jitsu coach saw that shit or something like that. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I said, I hope that he saw it. I choked her out and I got up and pointed at him in the corner and he was like, I know. We actually had a bet that if I could get a twister, he'd give me $1,000. So when I was in that when I was in that crucifix, I was looking at her legs. I was like, can I switch this somehow? And I was like, no, I'm just going to stay safe.
And how did you get the nickname King Casey?
It started with my Russian coach. He used to say some really outlandish, funny stuff when, you know, just being Russian and everything. I'd never heard any of it. And after one of my fights, he was like, that's some king shit. And I was like, I kind of like that, like King Casey, you know? So I started from there. And then the more that people hated it, the more I loved it. Like people comment all the time saying, you can't be a king, you're a woman. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I am a king. So. And then, yeah, I love it.
So their annoyance kind of prompted you to want to keep, like if nobody had noticed it, you might have kept it, you might not have. But the fact that they were pissed off, you're like, yeah, it works.
Yeah, I really like the hate. You know, I like it when people are like, that's dumb. I'm like, well, cool, now I'm going to do it even more just to annoy you.
You know, some of these younger girls, like the girls around your age, what do we got? Like you got Macy Barber, Miranda Maverick, who's doing really well. Now, Miranda was saying how she feels like these younger fighters, you should be cleaning out like the division, like clearing out all the older fighters instead of just beating up on each other. What do you think about that?
I agree, you know, like I'd let Mick know that, you know, I'm here to fight from the bottom to the top. So anybody that he wants cut, just send them my way and I'll make sure that that happens. He knows how I feel about that. And I agree with what she says. You know, I think that the girls that are coming up, for example, Macy and Miranda, like you said, we're so well-rounded now, you know, you have to be to get to where we are. And it just proves that coming in so young and everything and doing well and beating all the older girls. So I think so too. I think we take out all the veterans and we take over ourselves and then we fight when we get to the top.
Now, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was just going to ask because it's having to do with that. Like, despite, like, you know, Miranda feeling like that, she is going to be facing off against Macy Barber on July 24th. I don't know if you knew that. You probably
did. Yeah, I know. I keep up to date. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that fight? Because, hey, you know, you might be facing one of them.
Yeah, I think that's a good fight. I definitely think that Miranda's going to win, though. Like Ooh. You said, she's good. I really like Miranda. I think that me and her are the two to sort of take it all the way. And I see myself facing her in the near future as well. You know, I think she's got a lot of potential and she's a really good fighter. So I would like that fight. So yeah, I see that. But also I'd love to fight Macy. So I'd like to fight them all.
You're young enough to fight everyone. I mean, yeah. Now, wait, so you're living now in Vegas?
Yes, I've lived here for the past 10 months.
10? Oh, and you came over from
the pandemic too, yeah.
From Scotland?
Yeah. No, I came from Thailand. So I lived and trained in Thailand for a couple of years, the last couple of years. And when COVID hit, I decided to take a fight in Abu Dhabi. And basically, the government wouldn't give me a pardon to get back into Thailand. So it was basically leave and then you're sort of stranded. So I just decided to leave anyway because I kind of have done that for my whole life. So I left and I fought. I headed to UFC Fight Island and cornered my friend Loma Lukbimi. And then I just jumped on the charter flight from the UFC to Vegas because it was open and just sort of figured it out from there. I told Nick in Fight Island that he was going to sign me one day soon. And it came 2 weeks later. So I was pretty lucky.
Wow. Thailand wouldn't give you a pardon to let you back in. So you needed special permission to leave and come back in at that time.
Yeah. So they weren't too fond on the foreigners at that point because of the COVID thing. So they were like, well, if you leave, that's it. So I just decided anyway that I wanted to fight. You know, I'd been sitting on the sidelines for a while and I don't do well with time off. So I just decided to take the fight.
How's the cost of living there? I hear it's really, really inexpensive. Like it's supposed to be a great place to live.
Yeah. I mean, I booked a one-way ticket with $5,000 Australian in my bank account and I lasted almost 3 years, you know, so obviously making money as I fought, but yeah, it's a great place for young fighters who are wanting to sort of come up and everything. You can train full time and it's super cheap to live.
Yeah, I've never gone.
That's wild. And how about Vegas? Are you enjoying that?
It's a lot more expensive, but it is nice. You know, it's the beach isn't around and it's very hot, but I like it. It's like a fighter's paradise. We have the UFC PI and everything that you could ever want right there. So that's great. And my team, Extreme Couture and 10th Planet, it's good to have some really high level people who have been there and done that to give me advice and everything. For example, Misha, I've sort of like, Misha's sort of mentoring me now, you know, I take a lot of advice from Misha and everything. So, and she's coming back and she's going to smash in a couple of weeks. So I'm super excited for that.
Who's she fighting again?
She's fighting Marion Renault.
Oh, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
For a comeback fight. That's no slouch. Hey, Casey, give us something unrelated to MMA. A book you're reading, a show you're watching, a hobby. The world wants to know.
To be honest, I don't even really have any hobbies. Like my friends were laughing. I actually went out with them on Saturday night to a club and I was shadow boxing on the dance floor whilst everyone else was dancing. So I don't do much else. I watch Netflix a lot, you know, a lot of TV shows and everything. That's about it, to be honest.
The last series you're into, a series or a movie?
I watched that Manhunt on Netflix, the new one about the bombing at the Olympic Games. That was really good. I watched that during fight week. Smashed that show.
A series or a documentary?
Yeah, Richard Jules. It's a series.
Oh,
it's very good.
I feel bad. Very good. Did that guy die?
Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead from diabetes, right?
Yeah. I think so.
The show is really good, though. You should watch it. I feel like you would like it a lot.
I've never seen that or the movie. For some reason, it's an interesting subject to me. But Clint Eastwood, I don't know why I didn't watch it. But maybe I should.
I seen the movie. I seen good? The movie on a plane. Yeah, it was good. The poor guy. He was like a nerdy, like security fat guy. And I feel bad for him. He was like a almost like a wannabe cop, but he was like a by the like trying to really be good at his job type of guy. And he saved a lot of lives. And everybody was like, he did it. I don't know. I'm probably shortening that a lot.
That's basically it. But right? But the series goes really in depth. It's really good.
I like that. Maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah. Now, do you go to the casinos at all? I always wondered, living in Vegas, how hard is it to avoid some temptation?
It's actually not hard at all. I did think that before I moved here too, but I live about 15 minutes away from the Strip. And the only time I went was when I took my dad there after the fight to party a little bit. But I don't gamble per se. I work really hard to get this money and I gamble every time I get into the octagon. So I try and keep the gambling just to that.
Do you miss Scotland at all? Is it gloomy? Is it gloomy?
I do miss it.
It's the sun.
Yeah, like I said, to everyone, you know, we would never have moved to Australia if it was sunny in Scotland. So yeah, I do miss it, but I don't miss the weather and everything like that. It's so cold there. It's a little miserable, but I miss my family and everything.
Do you miss the personalities? Because Scottish people are known for having a very caustic humor and very, very, very blunt. Do you kind of miss that Scottish personality? I think I would miss that if I was used to it and then not around it.
Yeah, but in Australia, there's a big sort of community of people that's, we call ourselves Scozzies. So it's like an expat group of everyone from, you know, Scotland and England, and everyone used to get together and hang out. And obviously, I didn't miss the humor that much because I was around it a lot. So, and I've always got my dad to call, right? So he's the most Scottish person I know anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's so great, man. Your dad's got to be so proud, man. He's a former fighter and you're in there just kicking ass. How proud is
he? Yeah, so we used to watch UFC together, and my favorite fighter was Phil Baroni, the New York Badass. I literally had I had the gown and everything. Every time he fought, I used to like walk around the house in the dressing gown, and we'd sit on the couch and watch them from when I was like 10 years old. I used to tell my dad, you know, I'm going to fight one day in there, and then here we are now. I'm actually doing it. So, yeah, he's super proud.
He loves it.
Well, congratulations. Listen, So nice having you on. You're doing phenomenal. We want to have you back on when you have another fight booked. Yeah. And, hey, man, sky's the limit. Good for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm a super big fan, like I said, so I appreciate you guys getting me on.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you. And we'll definitely have you again before your next fight. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And I'll tell you right now, what a training like resume. Like, listen to that.
I mean, well, it reminded me of Wonder Boy. I thought of that when she was talking, because Steven had the same thing. It's that your whole life you're immersed in it. It's just there every moment of every day. I mean, from the time you're 5 or 6 years old on, it's just you're around it, you know? That's got to change the way you see competition and physical competition when it's something that you're always familiar with from the time you're a kid. It has to take some of the fear out of it. It has to.
Man, it's what she's used to. You know what I mean? 4 years old on the mat, watching 8 years old, she's competing.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. Good for her. Good for her. Yo, let's talk about a couple of fights, huh?
Sure.
All right. Cyril Gahn defeated Alexander Volkov. And well, I guess we'll start from the main event. It's kind of a little lackluster. I mean,
but you know, Stipe, I think that showing was good for Stipe.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with that.
I wouldn't mind seeing Stipe against Ciryl Gane either, by the way.
I wouldn't mind seeing Stipe versus anybody. Love Stipe. Miocic. Yo, yeah. Tanner Bozier.
Oof.
Beats OSP. And I'll tell you, I know what I like about it. He got it done in the second round. And you know, what I do like about it is that he had the weather, even though it was most likely it was his fight throughout, he did get taken down and he had to deal with that. So he had to deal with just enough adversity to be like, all right, this ain't going to be so easy for you. But then he got back up, and yeah, he made it. He made it actually look pretty easy. He had a great night, and he needed that. He needed that to get back on track.
Yeah, he did. Ovince was not really pulling the trigger, and I don't know if it's just because he's a slower starter, or if it's the fact that he's getting up there in age, or maybe did, you know, I think this is his second fight at heavyweight, if I remember correctly. Does the extra weight make him a little bit less likely to move faster? I just don't know the answer to it, but I noticed OSP. I told you his left body kick is one of my favorite things in MMA to watch. When he lands a body kick, it's just such a, it's like a baseball bat, but he just could never seem to get going in this fight. So congratulations to Tanner Boser. Even though I love OSP, you know, I of course had the knowledge that Tanner would stop him in the second. So I chose that way.
100%. All right, let's keep it going really. What we got? Timur Valiev?
Valiev. Yeah, against Honey Barcelos. Majority decision.
Yeah, I agree with it. What about you?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't object to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't like, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now what I feel bad for.
What?
I mean, and yeah, I want to see both those guys back again, Timur and Round. But I feel bad for Andre Feely, man.
Oh,
because he was looking great versus Daniel Pinata. And Pinata was doing good with the leg kicks.
Yeah.
You know, but Feely was doing, he was looking great. And it was really, really shaping out to be a really nice fight. You know what I mean? And Feely, I just feel for him, man, because, you know, it was an accident. And I feel for both guys because who knows? Pinata, you think he's out of there and he starts coming back every once in a while. He's doing those leg kicks. Is the leg going to be compromised? Feely's still in the game. And then all of a sudden there's an accidental eye poke. And that's a problem.
And I guess it's got to go. I don't know the – I know that there was an eye poke in round five of Gon Volkov. But they said because the fight was so advanced, they would have stopped it and just scored the fight from what they had already. Obviously, you know, maybe they couldn't do that in Feely's fight.
Nah, it's upsetting. Oh, I'm happy about Tim Means. I thought he looked great.
Yep.
I thought he did great, Tim Means, man. Elbows and punches and just he looked like the veteran in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always great. Happy to see Tim Means on top. And, you know, I love submissions.
Oh, yeah. You must have been thrilled about the McConnell,
sunk in the rear naked choke.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Second round. Anything we want to touch base on with the prelims?
Well, Kennedy Zuchukwu over Danilo Marquez. And we had Danilo on the show, but that was a vicious TKO at the 20 seconds of round three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the game we play. You know what I mean? But he was in there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he'll be back in there. But congrats to Kennedy on that. You know? Oh, I wanted to. Oh, there's a nice.
Wally Alves, by the way, a very tough KO to Jeremiah Wells.
And that, you know, also what? And first of all, I'm sorry to cut you off. Jeremiah Wells trains with my buddy Daniel Gracie out of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And powerful.
Yeah.
Explosive. And it was like, all right, Wally Alves is weathering this, I think, the worst of it. Maybe it's going to start to be downhill because of all the power that Jeremiah Wells is all the energy he's putting out. He might be worse to wear the second round, but man, I guess he had a little bit more in the tank or a lot more because he just he blasted him, and that was a hell of a shot right on the.
Didn't chin. He wind up down too? I think there was one point where he wound up in almost in a guillotine.
Yes.
Yeah, and
it was starting to come on towards the end of it.
It looked bad, but he was able to pop his head out.
Yeah, man. So, and that's how he tapped out Colby Covington.
Well, that's right. I mean, that was a fast
shit. Yeah.
I mean, that was a quick. That was by the way, when that happened, when Colby tapped, I want to say they were 9-0 and 8-0 respectively. That's a weird memory to have. I don't know. I believe Wally Alves went to 10-0 after that, and Colby went to 8-1. I could be incorrect, but they were both undefeated in that fight.
I have no clue, man. All I know is that Jeremiah is a welcome addition to that 173 class.
You bet he is. You
know? Charles LaRosa got a split decision. That was a good fight versus Justin James.
And I heard Justin James bet. Now, I don't know if this is true. Justin James bet his purse money on himself.
Ooh.
And then to lose A split decision. You must that one. And again, yeah, to lose a split decision.
That's a rough one, bro.
But there's a 30-27 in that. Again, not the craziest thing I've ever seen, Matt. 30-27, 28-29, 29-28. Like somebody just saw it.
Oh, shit. And his coaches are doing it as well. His coaches bet that shit on them, too. Fuck. Cancel Christmas. I'm only kidding. Listen.
They should not be betting on him. Because, and again, I'm not questioning the integrity of his coaches. But it's why baseball managers can't bet on their team. Because you may, with money on the line, make a decision that is not in the best interest. And again, I'm not saying his guys did this at all. But that's why baseball managers are not allowed to. It's kind of dicey to bet on yourself or bet on your guy.
I'm reading what he's writing. If I lose, I'll be broke again. I'll figure it out. It's not that serious to me. Nah, he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks he's saying. My whole fight's a risk. And, you know, hey, listen. You win big. If he won, he would have won big. He lost. Then he gets back on the
sure.
Yeah. You know, hey. What are you going to do? It's the fight game. It's brutal. Jimmy, I went on my friend Dan Bongino's show the other day. It's called Unfiltered with Dan Bongino. Does that sound funny? Unfiltered? I go, wait a minute. I go, hey, I go, Dan. We started the thing off. It was on Fox the other day. I go, hey, man. Like, before we get started, you're Unfiltered? I go, I do UFC Unfiltered. I go, these Antifa a-holes better not be marching on Sarah BJJ thinking I'm you and shit. I don't know. It was kind of funny. But listen, we had a good time on there. We were talking about jiu-jitsu for law enforcement. How it should be using law enforcement now. I feel every law enforcement officer should be at least a blue belt. At least a blue belt, my Jimmy Bird. All right. What else, buddy? I think we're done. We had a great time. I had a great time.
Yeah, this was awesome. And we will talk again. We'll be talking Wednesday, and we'll be seeing each other in a little more than a week, which is nice.
Wait a second. We're talking on Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and we'll be seeing each other physically.
Oh, Jimmy, I almost forgot.
Yep.
I'll be at your house.
That's right.
Sleepover.
Well, I'm assuming that everybody goes home at the end. Okay. That's my opinion. All right.
I maybe took it too far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I shouldn't have, you know, just thought I was staying. Yeah. But hey, listen, I'll bring my PJs just in case.
Yeah.
All right, listen, man. What do you want to plug?
You know, get yourself a if you want to get yourself
a cameo.
Jim Norton, cameo.com/Jim Norton. I'm not on the app, or get one from Chip or Doug Bell, or go to chipchipperson.com, get merchandise. And I'm finally doing gigs again. I'm starting up in August, so you can catch me in early August. I'll be at Comedy on the State in Wisconsin. If anybody gets
excited, I'm so excited about that. Me, I'm just in Long Island, New York, teaching some jiu-jitsu at sarahbjj.com. I'm going to get my online store up again. People are asking for shirts. I go, yeah, I'll get you a shirt. Got to get them printed up first, sure. Jim. Yeah, another iron I got to throw in the fire, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think you should do it.
Yeah, I should do a lot of things, you know? But listen to me. I'll be seeing you soon enough. I'll see you in a couple of days. Okay. Thank you so much for being my friend.
Of course. And I was going to thank you for the same thing, but you said it first, so I'll just agree.
Later, bro. Jimmy, bye, I'm sorry if I'm awkward sometimes.
No, it's okay. It's not awkward at all.
Love you, buddy.
I love you too.
Bye, I'll talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.